episode 1656, How to Overcome Stress Eating.
Moms, it's time to rediscover, rejuvenate, and renew who you are in mind, body, and spirit. Welcome to Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie, the show to help you do just that. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a stop
sign, watching people. Happy, happy day. Are you ready to set your table with goodness? Today is Wellness Wednesday, and it's time for us to dive in how to overcome stress eating. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, welcome to this incredible family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy, Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, stress can wreak havoc in your life, adding layers of complexity that is unwanted. Reduce the chaos in your life by learning how to overcome stress eating. Food is used during times of sadness, loneliness, stress, and celebration too. It's a source of goodness and complication. If you use food as fuel for your body to sustain your strength and energy, then you are on the right track. However, if you're using food to cope with stress, then you have a problem that doesn't have to be there, but must be dealt with before long-term residual effects occur. Plus, not to mention the poor habits you will inherit by continuing to stress eat. Now, if you're anything like me, slowing down isn't an option, right? We're just always moving, always going. And that's why most people do not realize that stress eating is happening, because it's a habit. They aren't stopping long enough to know that, oh, this isn't normal. So first, let's discover if you are in a stress eating mode or eating for your health. Studies show that when you're not paying attention to your food, you eat 30% more. Now, let's just kind of digest that for a moment. No pun intended. Okay, pun intended. If we are not paying attention to what we eat, we're going to eat 30% more. That's a lot more food. And with the busyness lifestyle, 30% is probably on the lower end. It has now become the norm. I mean, if you're eating almost 1.5 times the amount that you normally do, holy cow, you wonder why you're putting on the weight. You wonder why you're tired. You wonder why you feel bleh. Because you're eating stuff that you shouldn't be eating, and you're eating too much of it. Most of what we are putting in our bodies, unfortunately, is processed. Now, if you are eating foods that are in its most natural state, I applaud you. But unfortunately, that is not of the norm today, especially here in the United States of America. Now, in other countries, maybe so, because they are taking the time to eat. So in order to overcome stress eating, you must be mindful of eating. That is the KISS, the Keep It Simple Strategy. Be mindful of eating. Mindfulness isn't just about your thoughts. People think, oh, okay, it's mindfulness. I've got to be mindful. No, mindfulness, being mindful of something, is what? Presence. In the moment. Are you there? Or are you planning college for 5 years later? Are you trying to fix dinner in your head when you're only not even to breakfast yet, right? Are you putting the kids on the bus almost? I know school starting for some people in some areas. I know further down south, they're starting school because of the schedule that they're on. If you're doing all of this stuff in your head and you're just going, you know how little R2-D2 would talk in Star Wars? I sometimes feel like that's what's happening in our mind, and we are not even comprehending it because we're moving so fast, and we're doing it out of what? All out of habit. Mindfulness isn't just about your thoughts. It's about your food too. I read a statistic that said Americans eat all of their meals in 20 minutes. All of the meals in 20 minutes, whereas Europeans average 2.5 hours a day during their meal times. That is a humongous difference. I can remember my grandmother, we would sit down, whether it was for lunch or dinner, for breakfast, she always wanted to engage in conversation. She wanted to sit down. Now, she was the last one to the table because she was the one cooking in the kitchen. But she enjoyed absolutely every minute of it. And it took a long time for us to get through the meal. Well, I grew up with that. And so now as I eat my meals, my children, my husband even, especially with his job and his career, they just like scarf it down. Think about our kids who are in school. They don't get a long lunch period. They're kind of forced to hurry up, eat it. You can't even talk. There's quiet time during lunch. Really? No wonder we're having issues with food because we're telling everybody not to have conversation. Food and fellowship goes together. It requires us to have conversation. It really wants us to be mindful. So when you are eating, you got to start to slow down. Get a handle not only on your stress, but eating for your health and well-being. Food is fuel for your body. You need to see it as such instead of an activity to fill space and time. You know, that mindless eating that you do, you have a whole bowl of popcorn or chips or whatever it is, and you might be reading emails, you might be working on something, you could be, you know, helping the kids, you could be even having it on the counter and you're doing housework and you just walk by every once in a while and take a bite. And the next thing you know, you look and the bowl's empty and you're like, where'd that all go? And it all went in your tummy. And you're like, well, I don't remember eating all of it because you're not being mindful. So first off, are you a speed eater or a conversational eater? With my grandmother, she was definitely a conversational eater. With me, I am a conversational eater. My children will be like, Mom, how long are you going to take? You know, we'll go out to like a Chinese buffet or something like that. And I'll go up and I'll have three or four plates. Now, they're not all full plates, so don't freak out. I get different things. I may start with the salad and then I add a little bit of fruit with some protein on the next plate. But I take a little bit of everything. And so I make multiple trips up there. And so I take a much longer time to eat. Why? Because I'm a conversationalist. I love to talk. I love to engage in conversation with my food. I want to know what it tastes like, what it feels like. So I'm being very mindful. If you're one who is gobbling down your food in seconds, slow down. Food needs to be chewed 20 to 30 times. Basically, you need to make it a liquid before you swallow. That also helps your digestive system. Most of us, honestly, 4, 5, maybe you get 6 two times before you're swallowing. Think about those chunks. I know if you're eating, I'm so sorry. But when you swallow that, that puts extra work on your digestive system. And you wonder why your tummy doesn't feel so good 15, 20, 30 minutes later. Try counting how many times you chew your food the next time you eat. And then make it a game. Ask your family to join in on the fun. The results will surprise you. I know I've done it multiple times. My mother, I shared with you a few months back, or maybe it's only been 6 weeks. I don't know. I've lost track of time. Talk about busyness. And she had a surgery done. And one of the things, the follow-up with her physician was that you need to make sure you chew your food 25 to 30 times. You need to chew your food. And so we talked about it and she's like, that's a lot of times of chewing. She goes, you actually kind of begin as you chew that much. I mean, you get tired. It's a muscle that you're not used to working. If we all would chew our food, guess what? We probably would eat less just because our muscles are getting tired of working, of chewing and making our body be able to what? Digest the food, then be able to absorb the nutrients from the food that we ate. So try counting and see what you come up with. Now, what can you do to overcome stress eating? Let's break it down into three areas. Number one, know what you eat. Write a food journal. And no, this isn't the one that you're going to say, oh, I ate so many calories and this is exactly what I ate and I ate a half a cup of this. No, this is not for weight loss. This is for well-being. So commit to 3 days minimum. If you can go up to a week, that would be awesome. But let's keep it reasonable. 3 days, including what you ate, how you felt emotionally and physically before and after the meal. Be as descriptive as you can. Because you see, when you do this and you go back and look at it, whether you do 3 days, 7 days, 10 days, you're going to see patterns and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I remember this. Also, I would challenge you when you're keeping this food journal, write down what is happening. Okay. I want to call it the season of the day, or I should say the special of the day. What is that special that's happening? It could be a good special. It could be a bad special. Maybe it's a birthday celebration. And so you're at the pool party and you're having kind of junk food and everybody's just whatever and it's just a munchy day. Okay, great. Good to know what your munchy days look like. But maybe your special of the day is you had a fight with your husband the night before. And you wake up the next day and things still are not smoothed out. Forgiveness has not been given and there's some tension there. So the special of the day is what? Stress with spouse, fight with spouse. That's going to affect probably how you eat and what you eat, maybe even when you eat. Some people, they overeat in that circumstances. Others, they undereat. So know what you eat. Keep a food journal. Again, this is not for weight loss, so you're looking at it from a totally different perspective. Number two, consume one mindful meal daily. This is where you force yourself to slow down. Slow down. You need to be present with your meal, incorporating all senses, paying attention to the details of textures, smells, tastes, and even the presentation on the plate. The food is healthy and non-processed when you eat this mindful meal, okay? Eating food in its most what? Natural state. When you're talking about food that's healthy for you, it's in its most natural state. And it's a colorful plate with lots of vegetables and a good source of protein at its minimum. So then once when you've got that, and if you want to throw in, you know, a grain and some fruit, that's great. But make it a colorful plate. And I want you to eat until you are 80% full. You don't want to be busting at the seams. Only 80%, which means what? You've got room. How many times do you eat, oh my gosh, I'm so stuffed, I can't eat anymore. And it's not just because you went to the Chinese buffet. It has nothing to do with that, right? It's just that you ate to eat. And you weren't thinking about it. So consume one mindful meal daily. Now, if you can do two meals like this, where you're actually fully 100% present in your meal, not only in conversation, but with the food that you're eating, and you're eating slowly, which means what? You're probably taking 20 to 30 minutes with this meal. So really make time for this. I promise you're going to notice a difference. And finally, number three, explore what is happening when you're not physically hungry. I want you to do a gut check. When you're hungry, where does hunger strike? Below the neck. So if you're not physically hungry, if you're not having true hunger pains, it's probably coming from your head that you're hungry. You just kind of want to eat. So what else then is going on in your life that needs attention regarding your mind, body, and spirit? So for example, maybe you need a deeper connection. If that special of the day is a fight with your spouse and there's that tension, maybe you need that connection. Maybe you need to call a girlfriend. Maybe you need to call your mom. Maybe you need to sit down and write in your journal, get some things off your chest. But eating isn't going to fulfill that void, right? So there's a difference here. maybe it's attention regarding relaxation. You got too much going on at work, too many projects. You just need to stop, and you haven't. So relax. Maybe it's in your spiritual walk, your faith. Maybe you just need some quiet time. Maybe you need God to intervene in some of those specials of the day, and you need to have some conversation with Him. Maybe you need a creative outlet. Maybe you need to go get some glue and scissors and markers or Crayolas and color away. Cut some paper. Be creative with the children. Something to take your mind from everything that you're trying to do to something very simplistic. And maybe it's a perspective shift. What is happening when you're not truly hungry? That gut check. What is it? You have enough stress in your life. Don't complicate your healthy living by adding unnecessary stress by the way you eat. Be mindful of eating. Fuel the body so it can serve you better. You have one body, so take care of your body. Be mindful of not filling the voids in your life with food. Now, I get it. It's hard to do. For me, I did it for years. And I established bad habits. Man, at the time, I thought they were great habits. I mean, who doesn't want a root beer float every single day? It's great. It's a great way to end the day. It was my stress reliever. 5 children, homeschooling. Oh yeah, there's tension. Doing everything else on top of that. Helping and serving my husband, serving the community, building a business. Back then I had 2 or 3 different types of businesses depending upon where I was in the season. I had a whole volunteer service that I did within the church. Oh, there was stress. And my root beer float was my relief from it. Just those little things, you don't think about it because they just become habits. So if you're one who's saying, gosh, you know, I probably am trying to fill the voids of my life with food. Maybe I'm struggling differently. It may not have anything to do with weight. Or maybe there is a weight issue, but it has nothing to do with the amount of food you're eating. It's what you're eating and how you're eating it and when you're eating it and how it's connected. It's the emotional and the physical state of how you're feeding and fueling your body. If you want some help with this, click on the link, take aim in the show notes. I want to come beside you and champion beside you. You don't have to go this journey alone. It's hard enough doing life alone. And usually when stress is involved, there's a portion of this that feels like we are going a route that no one has taken. It's uncharted territory. I'm telling you, it's not uncharted territory, but it feels that way when you're doing it by yourself. So don't do it alone. Click on the link, take aim in the show notes, and that will begin our conversation. Look for what you know to understand what you don't know. Stress does not control those who are mindful. I love you so very much. I cannot wait to see you on the other side. Blessings, hugs, and lots and lots of love. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a gorgeous day. Bye-bye.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.